Blog Talk Radio.
Do not be afraid. The power of the Holy Spirit is with you. Is with you. Amen.
Come now, let us reason together. Question everything. Welcome to Sacerdotus Radio, a show on God, faith, the Catholic Church, science, philosophy, reason and otherworldly issues. Join the host as he tackles today's errors and refutes the fallacies of atheism and misconceptions on God, the Catholic Church, and science. And now here is your host, Sacerdotus.
Hello, welcome to Sacerdotus Radio. On today's show, I'm going to talk on things in the news lately. And unfortunately, some of these stories are going to be depressing. The first one is regarding the Jordanian pilot who was executed. After failed negotiations, ISIS once again killed off its prisoners. First, they beheaded journalist Kenji Goto of Japan, and now they have executed Jordanian pilot Moaz al-Kasasbe. ISIS has been in negotiation with Jordan to release two held terrorists for al-Kasasbe. Sahida al-Rishawi was one of them. She was a failed suicide bomber who was jailed for her attempt to kill others. Well, a couple of days ago, ISIS released a video showing Jordanian pilot Moaz al-Kasasbe being set on fire. The pilot is seen on video wearing a prisoner's red jumper or orange jumper suit and is placed in a cage. His clothes are wet, showing that he was doused with a combustible liquid, perhaps gasoline. ISIS fighters wearing marine uniforms instead of their black robes then set al-Kasasbe on fire. He is seen in pain jumping as the flames touch his feet and start coming up his legs, and then grabs his face and falls to his knees as the flames engulf him. He remains in that position as the camera zooms in, showing his face and eyes literally melting and dripping from his chin. The dead, charred body then falls backwards on his back. A wheel loader then drops heavy stones on the cage, crushing it and al-Kasasbe's remains. It then rolls over it and completely crushes his remains in the rubble. The video has angered most of the world. Jordanians took to the streets in Jordan to protest and call for revenge. Revenge did come as the terrorists ISIS wanted to be released were hanged. Jordan's king has also vowed more action against ISIS. It is disturbing not only to hear the news but also watch the video. My curiosity, unfortunately, got the best of me and I did view the video. It is extremely difficult to watch and I really don't recommend anyone should view it. And don't be stupid like me and go look at it out of curiosity. But mainly, the only reason why I looked at it is to see if it was fake or and they used a mannequin or something to burn. But after viewing the video, it is in fact a man, the pilot, that was burned in the fire inside a cage. ISIS even made the video cinematic, which was really disgusting. The whole thing looks like a scene from a movie, the way they recorded it. And it's just horrible how they have no regard for human life. And again, the way they made this video, like if it was a movie, like if this was entertainment, setting a man on fire, a person, a human being on fire, is something that should be watched for entertainment. And, you know, that's the whole thing is just, I mean, I'm running out of words to use because it's the 21st century, and yes, humanity has done crazy and evil things in the past, but hopefully we are evolving. We're getting smarter. We have all kinds of things, technology, scientific advancements, and so forth. And yet, people still exist out there. They are doing these things. I mean, putting a man in a cage and setting him on fire, and just watching him there burn, literally melt before your eyes. I can't imagine the pain that Moaz was going through as the flames were engulfing him. I'm sure many of us, many of you listening, have experienced getting burned, either with a stove or a toaster or an iron, or even sunburn if you were out in the sun for too long. And you know how much that hurts, especially when the fire is really, or the burn is really hot, or it comes from something really hot. It hurts a lot. It hurts a lot, and if it's by accident, like for example, touching an iron or something, then you're just touching one part. It's not like you took the whole iron and put it on your chest or on your face. You probably moved your hand and touched it by mistake, or your arm or your elbow, or something touched the iron and you burn yourself. And yet that little spot that gets touched with the iron, it goes crazy. All the nerves go crazy, sending signals to your brain. And of course the brain interprets that as something burning and it responds with pain, warning the body to get away from it. It's something bad. So can you imagine your whole body on fire? And again, this is not an iron. This is fire, flames, coming up from your feet all the way up to your face. Flames hitting your eyeballs and your face. And there's no escape from it. You're just there burning and burning and burning. It's just horrible. Horrible. And again, the video is, it's hard to watch and it's depressing. It's really sad. It makes me wonder what's going on with humanity, that we have these people out there that are capable of doing these things and burning up another human being. And the world is not doing much to really stop this. I mean, the United States and the coalition and so forth, they go and they send drones or with fighter jets and they bomb different places, but that's not really doing anything. Something has to be done to stop these crazy, psychotic people who are killing others in the name of Allah, in the name of God, in the name of Islam. And it has to stop. This evil has to stop. It has to be extinguished. Because it's spreading all over the Middle East and all over Europe, as we see, so in France with the whole Charlie Hebdo incident, and in Germany and other places where these terror cells are there planning and acting out their activities in order to kill people. Something has to be done. The nations have to get together and go to these places and capture these people or stop them, put an end to them, because it's just out of control. They're going to continue kidnapping people and killing them without mercy, without even care. I mean, if you could kill a human being, and you could take a knife and saw off a person's head, like you're cutting chicken or turkey or something, or you could just light somebody on fire and you don't feel anything. You're cold. there's something wrong with you. You're mentally ill. There's something wrong with you. And these people from ISIS are clearly disturbed, mentally disturbed, and I would say probably oppressed by the devil, by the demons, because all of the demons of hell, with their hatred for humanity, will concoct such evil ways of tormenting human beings. And since they don't have the bodies to do it, and spirits can't manipulate matter or interfere with matter, then they have no other option than to attach themselves, oppress human beings that are open to evil and sin, to the point that they don't seek conversion or repentance or anything. All they do and think about is evil. And my prayers go out to Moasa's family, and as well as the families of the Japanese journalists killed. ISIS is of Satan, is of hell. These people are demonic, and they have to be stopped. Otherwise, it's going to spread. They're going to continue brainwashing the youth via Twitter and so forth, which is another thing I don't understand. Twitter allows these people to use their services. Yet I and other people have gotten suspended numerous times. It makes absolutely no sense why Twitter allows these people brainwashing and using their service to brainwash others and promote their hatred and their evil. And they're not suspended. They're given free rein to tweet these things, this content, and invite young people to go over there and train with them and go back to their countries and cause havoc. It's just bizarre, and yet they suspend me and others for promoting blogs on different topics, whether it's Catholicism, pro-life, or atheism, or science, or whatever. They're quick to suspend our accounts. It's just mind-boggling how Twitter allows this to continue, these accounts, and how they police the wrong accounts and let the bad ones promote evil. The next thing is the Metronaut crash in New York City. SUV pulled near the railroad stop or the crossways, and allegedly the lady who was driving the SUV came out to check her vehicle because the divider, the bar that comes down to prevent cars from going over the tracks, apparently hit her SUV, so she came out to check the damage, to survey the damage. And according to witnesses, she went back inside and continued to move the car forward, the vehicle forward. And that's when the train came and hit the SUV, dragging it 1,000 or so feet. And as it did so, it hit the gas tank hit the third rail, which is electrical. And of course that sparked a fire, an explosion. So the lady was killed probably by impact of the train. If she wasn't, then probably the explosion got her. And then the fire went through the first car of the train, burning several people and killing them and dismembering others. And the people, they were panicking. They were going home. They were leaving New York City. They were going home to Tarrytown, I believe. And these people died. And it's just horrible that, imagine you going to work or leaving work and you end up dying in this kind of accident. And the investigation is still ongoing, but so far it seems like the lady driving the SUV was at fault. And the driver who was behind her claims that she had enough time to reverse and stand clear of the railway, but she apparently continue to try to drive over the railway. And the people from the Metro North, the MTA people, say that everything was working fine. The signal lights and the traffic, the bar, the beam that comes down was working fine. And the train alerted the area that it was coming via the horn, as it's supposed to when it's getting near a residential area or crossways. And everything seemed to be fine on the conductor's part of the train. So the woman apparently was the one that was, for whatever reason, trying to cross the railway when she's not supposed to, and the train hit the car, and now she's dead, and a whole bunch of other people are dead who were just going home from a long day of work or trip to the city or whatnot. And this disrupted service for quite a while in New York City and throughout New York State. Many people rely on Metro North to travel, to go to Connecticut and upstate and all the way into Long Island. And so this caused a lot of havoc in regards to commuting. And the Metro North has been under a lot of heat for the past couple of years for not only the outdated infrastructure or technology. These trains are from the 1960s, so they're pretty old. But the accident in the Bronx where the train derailed, and a train that recently during the snowstorm got stuck or something, or the power went out. And a couple of times, the trains froze, or their mechanisms froze during the cold weather months because of the old technology from the 1960s. And of course the climate now is changing, so it's getting a bit colder now in the Northeast than it usually got in the past. So all these things were up in discussion as to whether or not it was the Metro North's fault for not maintaining their trains or training their people properly. But in this case, so far from what I've read, the Metro North, the conductor, the employees did everything right, and the train was operating normally, and everything was operating normally, and it was just this woman there. So hopefully this doesn't happen again. Hopefully new technologies are put in to prevent cars from trying to pass the crossways when they're not supposed to, because it's not worth it. Just wait. It's not worth trying to beat the train. Just wait there. Remember, the train is going 60, 70, 80, 90 miles per hour, and it takes a while to stop. And I believe this train took about 32 seconds to come to a full stop. So it's not worth it. You get stuck in the crossways, stop, move back, give yourself enough space. And don't try to beat the train, because it's not worth losing your life over. The next thing is the Pope. He's coming to the United States this September coming up. And the news just reported that he's going to address Congress, which is the first time a Pope has ever addressed Congress or ever entered the Capitol of the Capitol building. So that will be interesting to see the Pope address Congress in the Capitol Hill, and hopefully they'll learn something from whatever it is that he has to say to the congressmen and women there, present, the senators and whatnot. And another thing of the Pope is, a couple of months ago he had installed showers for the homeless. He also had a raffle to raise money for the homeless. Well, now he added some new things. He gave out 300 umbrellas to the homeless, because Rome has been having a lot of rainy weather. So he had his people hand out 300 umbrellas so they could shield themselves from the heavy rain. And he's also opening a barbershop, not for himself, not to make business or do business, but for the homeless people, to so they could freshen up, get haircuts, shape ups, get their facial hair shaved, their beards or whatever shaved, and look more clean and presentable in public. So, and this along with the showers are set to open on February 16th of this year. So kudos to Pope Francis and his people in the Vatican for going out there and taking care of the poor people, because that's one of the main things of Christianity. Jesus always went to the poor people. He always went and performed miracles to those who were poor, the blind beggar, and so forth. And we had to do the same thing. And I'm glad Pope Francis is imitating Christ in that fashion, putting the faith to practice in the real world, and not just speaking about the faith via homilies and whatnot. Because the faith is much more than written texts, written books. The text, the faith is something that's a lifestyle. It's a way of being. You can't be a Christian without being Christian, without acting Christianity. You could say all you want, I believe in God, Jesus. You could recite all the Hail Marys you want. You could read the Bible every day, pray every day, go to Mass every day. But if you're not practicing Christianity, you're not loving your neighbor as yourself, then you're wasting your time. Like St. Paul says, if I could talk the languages of the angels and do all these things, but I don't have love, I don't care for people, then it's worthless. It doesn't mean anything. You're just practicing religion just for the heck of it. It became a hobby for you instead of a way of life that transforms you. So hopefully Pope Francis inspires more people to go out there and care for the homeless and the poor people and the destitute, and especially world leaders. And lastly, during his remarks at the National Prayer Breakfast, President Obama made some remarks that have Christians, conservatives, and others up in arms. He said, quote, "Unless we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ." End quote. Obama has clearly insinuated that Americans are on a high horse for calling out Islamic terrorism, which is much too real, as we saw with the execution by fire of the Jordanian pilot Moaz al-Kassab. The president even went as far as making a moral equivalence statement, or fallacy, by linking the Crusades and Inquisition to the evil acts being witnessed globally today by Al-Qaeda and ISIS and those groups. While it is true that some Christians do things that are evil in the name of Christ, this does not mean that Christianity mandated those actions. We are all sinners and will do evil things. However, our faith does not call us to kill the quote-unquote infidels or force others to convert on the threat of violence. Our faith is one of love, hope, and faith. It is spread with the love of Christ, hope in Him and faith in Him and the one He represented 2,000 plus years ago. As for the Crusades and the Inquisition, which are often brought up by anti-Catholics and atheists as an attempt to discredit Catholics or the Catholic Church, well, Obama is clearly ignorant of history. The Crusades was a defensive response to the Muslims who were terrorizing people in the Holy Land. Was the Christian world supposed to sit back and let Muslims kill them and destroy the holy sites in the Holy Land? If anyone comes to our nation and tries to destroy the White House, the Statue of Liberty, and other sacred American locations. Will we stand back and watch? I don't think so. Rest assured, Americans will take to arms and defend our land and our properties, especially our symbolic properties that represent our American culture and history and identity. There's Christians centuries ago did the same thing with the Crusades. This is a far cry from going around dressed in black and cutting people's heads off for no reason. Moreover, the Inquisition had nothing to do with the Catholic Church. Secular authorities at the time took it upon themselves to arrest and kill those who they felt were guilty of treason due to their open rebellion of the Church and the authorities. Remember that at the time, the Church and secular authorities had in many cases equal authority and were intertwined in society. They worked hand in hand, and sometimes they fought hand to hand, but metaphorically speaking, but for the most part, there was no such thing as separation of church and state then. This is why our founding fathers did not want this type of relationship in the new experiment or the United States of America. They wanted the government not to interfere with religion and not to set any religion as the religion of the United States. They wanted to make that clear, so that the United States is not, doesn't have an official religion or endorses an official religion, nor does it interfere with religion. President Obama needs a history lesson. He also needs to apologize to Christians and target the real criminals, ISIS and others, who are terrorists killing people in Allah's name. So Obama, I don't know why he seems to be excusing or trying to downplay the activity of ISIS, and is disturbing. I mean, a lot of people think he's a Muslim in hiding, so to speak. With the way he spoke the other day at the breakfast, I mean, it raises an eyebrow. He's pretty much saying, well, these guys over there are not doing that great a thing. Remember, Christians did the same thing thousands of years ago. He's trying to make it into a lesser crime or evil, or conflate both events when they're completely unrelated. Again, the Crusades was a response to the Muslims, a self-defense. It would be called Operation Crusade today if it was going on today and we had a military that was Catholic or Christian. The Crusades went out there to defend the Holy Land from the Muslims who came and were destroying and taking the property and killing people. And the Inquisition happened because secular authorities started interrogating these people who the Church called heretics and who openly defied not only the Church but also secular authorities. So they took it upon themselves to inquire, to arrest people and find out who is the one instigating or promoting these ideas. And we see that today with the United States trying to go after Snowden, who revealed the activity of the organization, the NSA, who was surveilling Americans and pretty much listening into phone calls or tracking phone calls that were made in the United States, pretty much spying on Americans. So Obama, I don't know what's wrong with him, why he keeps on making these statements, and hopefully he'll step up and apologize for them. Well, that's all for today. Thank you for listening. God bless, and Mary keep.